More and more adults are being assessed for autism and ADHD than ever before. Clinically, that's partly about better recognition. ADHD is estimated to affect around 5% of people, autism about 1 to 2% of people. But demand, particularly among adults, has grown significantly. Alongside that, there's a rise in private assessments and a huge volume of content online helping people spot traits in themselves. So what's driving this shift and how should we understand it? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and I think you'll agree there's definitely been a shift in how often we talk about ADHD and how we talk about people with ADHD in recent years. More adults are recognising traits in themselves, going through the process of diagnosis and trying, I suppose, to make sense of how their brains work, how they function. Maybe some of this is a self-diagnosis from Instagram Reels and TikToks. A few questions into ChatGPT, perhaps. Maybe some infographics on your For You page. But people are seeing patterns in their behaviour. And what's interesting now is how many people are coming to this later in life and how, for some, it doesn't just stop at ADHD. In photographer Ruth Medger's case, it led to an autism diagnosis also, and then a sort of reckoning with some of the behaviours of her past: eating habits, routines, sensory overloads. But there's also something more complicated in it as you begin to understand yourself a bit better. There's the question of masking. How much of yourself you've been holding back all these years, and what happens if you stop doing that? And then there's the reality of the system around it: long waiting lists, high costs, and a process that still isn't easy for people to access. To discuss all of this, I am joined by Ruth herself and a little later by Dr. Brendan Kelly, who's a professor in psychiatry in Trinity College Dublin. You're both very welcome to News Talk Daily. Ruth, thank you for joining us here in studio today.
Thank you for having me, Ciara.
Lovely to speak to you. So I just want to go, I suppose, to the period of time before you decided to seek this formal diagnosis. Can you describe life to me?
I was kind of, it's probably a unique position, but I was on tour with a band, traveling around the world, and I was pushing myself to the extreme, further and further than I'd ever pushed myself before, and everything got too much, I suppose. Now, normally I'm a very capable human being. I've set up a business, you know, I bought my own little house, you know, I manage, I work really, really well, and I work really, really hard. Everyone in my life would say, yeah, you know, you work more than anyone else I know. So hard work wasn't the issue. I love working, but it was just everything kind of bubbled up to the surface all at once. And I felt like I was losing a grip on myself. I was losing control on my work, my job, my relationships, you know, with friends, everything. I was like, everything is getting too much. I'd rather stay at home. And
so is that just complete overwhelm?
Burnout. That's what it was. It was burnout, and which is a huge thing for people with ADHD and autism, is burnout. And I didn't realise these things. And you know, I was on a tour bus, and I was the drummer in the band was like, you know, my wife's just gotten an ADHD diagnosis, and I think there's some similarities there. And I was like, nah, I'm fine. And then my own partner was like, I think there might be something here. And I was like, all right, everyone, stop talking to me. And I went and I did some research, and I was like, wow, I might have ADHD. So I started the process of getting a diagnosis, which is not easy. My GP said basically what you said in your intro. You're watching too much TikTok. You're self-diagnosing because you're one of all of these women that are self-diagnosing. You're watching too much TikTok. You're seeing it on Instagram. And I was like, okay, all right, if you think so, maybe it's all in my head. Because you do think it's all in your head. You start to doubt yourself, you know. So I went away for another year and I nearly broke down. I was so stressed, and it was a different kind of stress that I've ever felt before. I've done massive things in my life. I've had huge exhibitions, books, everything. But this was a different type of stress. And I thought, no, this isn't right. I went back and I saw the other doctor in the surgery, and I demanded an ADHD referral to a psychiatrist. I was like, I need this in my life.
And when you did, as most people do, go on Dr. Google or go on one of the AI platforms and say, this is how I'm feeling, what were you saying to them, and what were they saying back to you that made you go, yeah, no, this sounds like me?
I choose to research medical journals. I choose to research kind of peer-reviewed reports and everything, and stories from other people rather than ChatGPT, because I hate that. So I really went in hell for leather looking at research that was done, and all different, looking at about the traits of what ADHD is and seeing how it compares to my life. You know, I was trying to disprove it more than prove it. I was like, no, this isn't me. I'm just stressed at the moment. But the more I researched it, I was like, oh, hang on a second. Maybe it is actually. I can't deny this. The proof is there. So I was looking at, you know, spiraling thoughts. I couldn't sit down and concentrate. I couldn't finish a simple task. I'm very list orientated. I've always been in my life. Once I knew how to bullet journal, my life got easier, but I couldn't even bullet journal. I couldn't finish anything. I couldn't sit down to do any work. My mind was racing. My mind was like a runaway train. There was no chance of it stopping. And it became overwhelming. Started like I was always on the cusp of a panic attack. And I couldn't do anything. Couldn't even change the bed sheets because I'd start the task, I'd freak out, I'd start doing something else, I'd freak out, you know. So everything was really unmanageable. And that's not great when I'm in work. But then also, because I was going through this period of what they say is burnout now, I was starting to become really unprofessional in my day-to-day with clients and everybody. I was dropping my masks. Normally, I'm able to, if a neurotypical says something to me and my logistical response is like, well, that's wrong, you know, because I can say, I'm like, that's just incorrect. But neurotypical people like to have a little fluffy cloud around them that you're like, oh, actually, yeah, you could be onto something there, but I might try do the other way. You know, you pad it out, whereas I'm very straight down the line. And I was like, no, I started dropping all those little masking techniques and becoming just my true self, which is like, no, you're wrong. And like, you know, I would have been right. They would have been wrong, but you shouldn't say that to a person. So I started to become really unprofessional and unfriendly, and it started to appear in my work and my relationships. And I was like, that has to stop. You know, I was feeling, I'm a photographer. I've built my business on trust and reputation. And if I start being known as the cranky photographer, that's not ideal, you know? So I went and I got the autism diagnosis. You know, the psychiatrist was amazing. He talked to my parents and he talked to me in great length and came up with this diagnosis of ADHD, which I was like, oh, great. Yeah, I do have this. Let's tackle that. But then he was also, yes, you have autism. And yes, you have anxiety caused by severe burnout. And I was like, oh God. Yeah.
So for you, it wasn't this beautiful light bulb moment. Your initial reaction was, oh God, that's a lot for me to deal with.
I didn't want the diagnosis. I didn't, because it is a huge thing that you have to then process.
And you didn't like the label, was it? You wanted to kind of reject that label a bit?
I just wish he had said, no, look, you're grand. You're just really stressed at the moment.
It'll pass.
Yeah, go to Spain for a couple of weeks. Chill out. You'd come back and you'd be fine. You know, yeah, everybody wants to be typical. They want to be normal, quote unquote. Like, you want to be able to fit in to a world around you. The world is neurotypical and I'm not. So it's going to make everything more difficult, but it's been difficult my whole life. I just haven't known why. So it was a real revelation. And that was 6 months ago. And I'm only able to talk about it now because I've been through the whole journey of acceptance of the diagnosis. And then because I did fight against it, I was like, no, he's wrong. The psychiatrist is wrong. I don't have autism. I'm a successful business person. I have relationships and friendships. I have my life together, kind of. I don't have autism. Well, I do. When I look back, when I heard my parents talk to the psychiatrist about me as a child, describing that child, now I'm looking at it going, that child has autism. And now I'm like, oh, wait, that's me.
So, and what did they say? What did your parents say about you as a child?
So my parents were like, you know, the psychiatrist, one of the questions is like, did she have any trouble making friends? And my answer to that was like, no, I had loads of friends. I was fine. My parents were like, we were very worried about her. She didn't socialize. She chose to be on her own all the time. And that's true. I didn't have problems making friends. I just didn't bother. I didn't want to have friends. I wanted to be on my own. And I still kind of do, because being in social situations is quite overwhelming and it takes an awful lot out of a person, because I'm constantly trying to see, what is this person really asking me? What do I have to say in this response? Is my face doing something weird? Are my hands doing? Am I freaking people out right now? So you're processing all of that, and I didn't realize I was doing all that even as a child. So you get extra tired extra quick and you want to back away from those situations. And I love being on my own. And my mom was like, do you remember that period where you used to clear out the wardrobe, sit in the wardrobe with a torch and a book, and you'd stay there for hours? And it's like, that was weird. I was like, okay.
When what you were actually probably doing was regulating yourself there.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah, yeah.
And there's lots for you when you look back, and even when you look at your life now, there's lots of sensory stuff.
Lots of sensory stuff. You know, my idea of hell is a restaurant where I have to eat someone else's food in a really noisy environment. There's, you know, people talking all around. There's like 15 conversations around you. I can't tune into the one. There might be a bloody radio on, the clanking of the dishes, the you know, the cutlery, and then the smells and the lighting. Lighting is all off. And I'm like, oh my God, sort yourselves out. Hate a restaurant. You know, I love eating the same food that I know what it's like. I love food and it's all based on texture. I don't care about taste. I'm fine with spicy, I'm fine with savory, fine with all that. It's the texture of food that really, like the thought of eating cabbage or lettuce or something, oh my God. So yeah, I'm very particular. And as a child, I would have been called a picky eater. And there was a period in my life where I'd only eat rich tea biscuits. Everything is beige as well. I'd only eat rich tea biscuits, and only if I saw my mom taking them out of the packet. And they worried about me. You know, they used to take me to the doctor, and the doctor was like, she's fussy. She'll, you know, there's nothing wrong with her. She'll eat when she's hungry. But all I wanted to eat was biscuits. And now I go through the same period, but I'm not ashamed of it anymore, because now I'm like, I have autism. My poor partner, like, his head is melted, because every time I do something, we're learning it together. And he's looking at me going, you have autism. I'm like, I have autism. I'm no longer weird. I'm just autistic. So it's a bit strange.
And the thing I think is worth pointing out here to people listening who perhaps aren't familiar with ADHD or autism is that it's not about ability and it's not about intelligence.
No.
It's about how your brain processes the world around you.
Listen, I'm 40 years of age now, but when I was in school, I felt really stupid. But I knew in my heart of hearts, I wasn't stupid. I was quite intelligent. You know, there was kids next to me eating Pritt stick, and I was like, I'm smarter than this child, but for some reason, I can't understand the times tables, the way they're teaching it to me. I was absolutely perfect taking the books home, reading it in my wardrobe and understanding it in 2 seconds. But whatever way the messages were delivered, now I understand that it's like verbal communication isn't for me. I have to learn in my own space and time. I went through school always being told she could do better, but I was really trying. I was really trying to do what they asked me to do, but they thought I was lazy more than anything, because they could see that I was smart, but I wasn't applying myself. And then going through college was the exact same thing. I was so frustrated. I was supposed to be a photographer. I knew I was going to be a photographer. I was studying photography, but I was failing every bloody year. And it just knocked the confidence out of me, clean out of me.
And how did you deal with that frustration of being in a school environment, that frustration of maybe going to a child's party,
yeah,
and being just overwhelmed by all of the noise, lights, yeah, colours.
You know what? School, I always took myself away. I found out a way to rig the system. I'd go in, sign the home book or whatever it was. When you signed in, you see the teacher the first thing. Then I'd go home and I was back in bed by 9:10. And I did that for years and no one knew. But I studied the books by myself at home and I got a really good Leaving Cert. So I just found my own really smart ways of getting around their system. The same with kids' birthday parties and everything. I'd just take myself away to a corner. You know, I was at my mate's 50th birthday last weekend. And, you know, my partner was following a few hours late and he's like, where are you? It's like, I'm actually in the closed bar that's next door. And I found my way in there and I'm just having 10 minutes to myself, because, you know, going back in, it is like acting, because you have to be talking to people and, you know, presenting in a certain way, and it's absolutely exhausting.
You mentioned worrying about how you're going to be perceived now as a person with ADHD,
yeah,
and autism.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
You know what? I don't. I've built my career around my autism and ADHD without knowing. You know, I never could do an office job, so I became myself. I became a photographer. I deal with new clients every day. I stop myself getting bored. I'm highly interested in what I do. And my best time to work is 9 and 10 p.m. Great for rock and roll photography. Amazing. So, yes, in a way, I do worry But now that I'm kind of taking ownership of it and I know when I need to back off and have a break, otherwise I'm going to be cranky, you know, and I think people almost, they see an artist with autism and ADHD and they think it's kind of cool because they're like, oh yeah, she's weird, she's different, she's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to lean into it, which is fine. I do have to self-regulate myself a lot more, especially going through perimenopause because you lose all your ability to mask because your hormones are going absolutely insane. So that's why we're seeing a lot more women as well coming forward at this stage in their lives, because we're just faced with this huge new thing of like, oh God, everything, I'm unregulated. So I have to just mind myself a little bit more and then take ownership of it and be like, listen, this is what I need to do as an autistic person and I need to have these in place and I will deliver you an amazing shoot. And, you know, I do a daily podcast now and my job is literally going around talking to people every day. I interview a new person every day and get them to tell me a story. And that's beautiful. And that's something I can absolutely manage, and I can engage with people one-on-one. So I've designed that project around my autism. I love chatting to people one-on-one, and that's what I do. So I tell people stories every day and I take a really lovely photograph of them, and I feel great doing that and they feel great, and together we're creating this huge big project. So I've tailored my whole life around it. And when my psychiatrist gave me the diagnosis, he was like, I don't want you to think this is a bad thing, because it's not. You have designed your entire life around this already.
And you've made it work up to the point of overwhelm.
Yeah. He's like, you just need to acknowledge that, yeah, you don't want to get burnt out again. And that's it. Like.
And what was the treatment?
So they don't treat the autism traits. That's just ours to own. And it's great crack. But yeah, and I treat them by indulging in them. So I eat the same food every day and I don't care.
You don't have to anymore.
Or I watch Eeyore again every day on repeat. And I've watched it maybe 18 times. So I watch the same things over. And that gives me great comfort. It's the only way my brain switches off is by watching something that I've seen a million times. And then, yes, there is medication for the ADHD. But I only take it when I need to fit in with the real world, when I need to be neurotypical. So I'll take it if it's a day where I am, you know, going to the library, doing a lot of admin, doing my taxes, doing things like that, that need to be done at a certain time, at a certain hour, and da da da, and deadlines. So I'll take the medication for that. But when I'm allowed to be myself and go off and do my project and interview people and stuff, I absolutely do not go near that medication. I love who I am.
And you wrote in the piece about your diagnosis that, you know, you followed the trend of getting an ADHD diagnosis, but the autism diagnosis wasn't part of the trend.
Oh, no,
And I picked up on that language that you say, you know, you're recognizing there seems to be a trend here. What do you say to those people who are skeptical, who are saying this is just a trend?
It's not a trend, because we just have the language now. We have the ability to recognize in our peers, and the information is spreading way faster than it ever spread 20 years ago. We have social media. That's where people are getting this from. They're getting the self-diagnosis. But like before we had telescopes, we didn't see the stars. We didn't know how many there was. So we were like, oh, there's only 5 stars in the sky. Now that we have the telescope and the language and the information, we can see all these people that have these different diagnoses, and we can recognize them and give them comfort and support. So what is it to you if someone goes and gets a diagnosis that's going to be beneficial to their life? Like, leave them at it, you know?
Ruth, thanks so much. Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you, Ciara.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Well, Dr. Brendan Kelly is also joining us on News Talk Daily here. Doctor, you're very welcome to the programme. We were hearing from Ruth there about an adult diagnosis of autism and ADHD. Are more people neurodivergent now, or are we just getting better at recognising it?
We're getting better at recognizing neurodiversity now, for sure. I don't think that we had sufficient awareness in the past, but we are improving considerably. There's greater self-awareness and more professional understanding as well.
What do you think is driving that awareness?
Well, a couple of things are driving that. First, there is better recognition of human diversity, if you like, and better awareness that what we regard as neurotypical really does not reflect the reality for many people. Many people are very different, and we all have different experiences of our minds and the world and life.
What does the process look like for an adult who wants to seek a diagnosis in this country?
Well, the first step is to first look at the website of the HSE, which provides lots of good guidance, and then to talk to a general practitioner or GP, because they can often indicate if a person is likely to have these conditions or maybe something else completely, like autism or anxiety disorder or depression, rather than necessarily ADHD. What happens then is the person is referred to the public sector services provided by the HSE. And look, I think we all know there is unevenness across the country in terms of these services. So an alternative route is a private assessment. And these are, there's numerous private providers of these assessments now available online.
But there will be those listening to this podcast who are very sceptical about that, who are saying the ADHD and autism diagnosis that we are seeing today, that these conditions are being over-medicalised and commercialised.
Yes, and you know, there is truth in that position as well. There is enormous appetite for assessment and for diagnosis, and therefore there is commercialization. However, and we need to be careful about medicalization. We need to be careful about diagnosing when diagnosis serves no function. So there is a correction happening for a legacy of underdiagnosis, but we do need to ask ourselves every time, how does diagnosis help this person? Does it help with self-understanding? Does it help with maybe self-acceptance? Does it bring community or maybe treatment and support? Or is diagnosis unhelpful? Some people can experience it as disempowering, or some people can experience it as negative. So we do need to be very careful not to over-medicalize what is simply a way that some people are, and not to over-commercialize or exploit people who are anxious.
And is that happening, do you think, Brendan?
Yes,
is there an overcorrection?
Undoubtedly. Well, no, I don't think there's an overall overcorrection, but I do think there is sometimes a lack of care with certain private, especially online assessment and diagnosis. This is very concerning. So if someone is wondering, might I have ADHD? Might I have autism? The first step is to talk to a GP. And then if you are referred onward, to make sure that any medical doctor or psychiatrist you're seeing is registered with the medical council, or if it is a clinical psychologist, that they are a member of the Psychological Society of Ireland. Because there is a lot of questionable practice in particularly online private providers at the moment, who are frankly exploiting people's uncertainties about this, these issues.
There's the other element of that, is the rise in a lot of these private assessments, and I'm sure a lot of them are above board, but the rise perhaps reflects the unmet clinical need in the public sector.
It does. I mean, I think we all know that the public sector mental health service does need an injection of resource. It needs improvement so that there is publicly accessible assessment available in a timely and prompt way. That is the only way that the kind of exploitation we're seeing will be minimized and hopefully eliminated in the future.
Brendan, what are the dangers with living with a condition like ADHD or autism as an adult and not getting that diagnosis and perhaps not getting access to whatever supports or treatments might be suitable or available for you?
Well, the first thing is that maybe for some people, they find ways of living with the way that they are without a diagnosis. Diagnosis is not always essential, nor is it always helpful. But for many people, it is useful. So the dangers of living without it is that people can become withdrawn, they can become confused. And particularly for younger people with ADHD, they can miss out taking full advantage of the educational opportunities and the training opportunities that tend only to be available earlier in life, if that makes sense. It can be difficult if some of those vital years of educational opportunity, if they're not taken advantage of fully because of undiagnosed ADHD or autism spectrum disorder.
For people who are listening to News Talk Daily today who think, I might have ADHD, I might have autism, what should they consider before pursuing a diagnosis, before even speaking to their GP?
Well, the first thing is to read up carefully about it. As I say, the website of the HSE has lots of good information for autism spectrum disorder, as I am has good information on its website as well. And then to ask yourself, you know, what does this mean to me? What would being diagnosed mean to me? Is it that I want a diagnosis and therefore I will get a treatment and therefore I will be different? And is that a good thing, even if that were to occur, if that is what was to happen? So I guess it's to reflect on, to what extent is this causing a problem in your life? What is the problem I want to fix by moving forward with this? And then being confident to do so. The other thing to do is to talk to someone you know and trust, like a family member or a friend, to talk about this each step along the way. And remember, you can make inquiries and set up appointments, but you don't necessarily have to go through with them. So just to sort of move forward for sure, but in a considered way and with somebody you trust by your side who can chat to you throughout the process.
Dr. Brandon Kelly, thanks so much for speaking to us on the News Talk Daily podcast today.
Thank you very much.
My thanks to Ruth and Brandon for joining me on News Talk Daily today to talk about something that I think is really important. I don't think this is about everything suddenly becoming neurodivergent. I do think it's about having a language for people to understand themselves. For some, I get that that brings clarity and relief, but for others it does raise questions about identity and labels and where to draw the line. Either way, it's a conversation that's not going away, and I think one we're only beginning to properly have here. I'm Ciara Doherty. Thanks for joining me. Chat tomorrow.